I am going to call the continuation of our Board of Finance budget workshop to order. And we're going to start again, as we do all of our meetings, with a public forum. And again, in lieu of public comment, we have been accepting emails, and we get emails throughout the meeting at budgetquestions@townofcantonct.org. We have received about five more responses since our last meeting. So if you'll remember, last time we had about 10, majority of those were focused on the SRO. Some were just expressing concern as business owners and just the ability of our business owners to pay taxes during this time. We had a couple that were also just expressing some concern or wanting to understand what we had done to ramp up public service. And so we addressed those meetings. The new five ones were pretty much all centered around support from the public for the website that is part of the Board of Selectmen's budget, and just the need to be keep a long-term view when finalizing things. And so again, appreciate all those comments. And as the Board of Finance will remember, we don't decide line item actions, but we do come up with overall recommendations. And so that is the goal of our meeting tonight. With that, I'm gonna move on to our next topic, the summary of prior budget questions and follow-up comments. I wanted to just see, I believe we closed this out at the last meeting, but we just wanted to make sure, does anybody on the Board of Finance have any other remaining questions before we proceed into really looking at our undesignated fund balance, our revenues, and then ultimately the expense outlook? I see a head shake, no? No.
No.
All right, head shakes are good. All right. Okay. So with that, I think we're going to move on to the outlook for the fiscal year 2019-20 undesignated fund balance. So Bob, I don't know if you can pull that up and share it so we can look at it. And I'll just remind the members of the board, you know, we look at this on a regular basis just to understand where our financial health is of the town. We generally would say, you know, we try and keep the fund balance somewhere around 15% of our fiscal year budget or higher. We've gone there, and you guys will see we generally are in a strong position right now, which is good. What it does for us is it allows us the ability to make special appropriations throughout the year, as we sometimes discuss. It allows us to consider potentially use of some of that fund balance when we're going through our process tonight. The one thing I would just remind everybody is it is something that's also managed and looked at by rating agencies to understand when they're giving our town our overall rating. So you've got to balance all of those things when we're having the dialogue. And I don't know if we are going to be able to pull it up or if we just want to refer to it in our packets. Bob, do you want to
just lock in? For some reason, it's not coming up in the pack that I've got. The fund balance right now is about 17%.
Yes. So far this year, we had appropriated $100,000 last year, right, to use for the budget. And we've also given the incremental $30,000 for the computers. That was something we voted on in the early, I think, September or October meeting of last year. There's also the potential for some contamination cleanup at Cherry Brook, estimated at $40,000. Bob, I don't know if we have an update on that.
Yeah, we do. The one thing I can say is that we did... We finished testing all the abutters' wells. I haven't got the actual results back yet, but they all passed. So there were six of them that we tested, and all of them were significantly below what the limits were. And so I'm waiting for the actual results to come back, but that's good news. You know, we didn't know if we'd have to do some kind of mediation based on any kind of the contaminants going out to the abutters' wells, and That did not happen. So that's good news. We did what they call deep hole tests for contamination. Those results we have not gotten back yet, so we still have that to go through. But so far, between the tests done for the water at Cherry Brook and the tests done for the abutter wells, and then just the surface test of the surface soil, they've all come out okay.
And then do we have, I know the other potential item, we did not talk about this because we had to cancel our March meeting, but at least the other potential item that looked like it was surfacing is the bridge. I believe it's on West Road. I could have my road wrong.
Nope, it's West Road. Okay. We, the Board of Selectmen just submitted an application to DOT under the local bridge program for $1.5 million to repair the, or to replace the bridge. We don't know whether it'll cost all that amount, all that much. We kind of questioned the price since it was significantly lower. The estimate was a year ago, but that's what the engineers felt comfortable to put in for. It's always easier to decrease the amount you need than it is to increase. So I think they put in for whatever they thought the maximum amount would be. So if it was to be $1.5 million, that grant requires a 50% match, which means that the town would have to contribute $750,000 towards it.
Bob, this is Kip. Is that just that one bridge? There are two bridges there. Are we looking at both or just that one?
Just that one.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep. And it would be, the work wouldn't be complete until November of 2021.
So, Bob, can you repeat the total again? We'd be paying $750,000. What was the total?
Approximately. We have to pay half. It's a 50% match. So if it's a $1.5 million bridge, we'd be paying $750,000 of it.
All right. So I just wanted everybody to know, I mean, obviously no decisions and nothing out there, but that is one potential significant use of the fund balance that we have out there. Otherwise, with the estimate prior to considering that, we were sitting at, Bob said, at 17.58%. If I roughly did my math correctly, if we were to try and get to a 15% number, that would state we have, call it $1 million. I'm not suggesting that would all be used in the budget process, but just wanted the everybody to kind of be on the same page on what the potential outlooks were for the fund balance. Does anybody have questions before we move on from that topic?
Jen, can I ask a question? We've typically kept it above 15%. Are you comfortable with going down to 15, or would you rather keep it higher?
I think generally we should look at it as that would be potentially a floor. I know there's different times call for different things, right? So we have a healthy fund balance, and it's been very helpful for us for when things come up, because we know we budget very close to what we know expenditures are, so it's been healthy to be there. On the flip side, when we're potentially in a situation where we might have 1 year potential dips in things, you know, if we assume that there's going to be a lower tax payment rate, but we would expect that to rebound in the 21-22 cycle, where you knew it was just a 1 year thing, or potentially like a very strong likelihood it was a 1 year thing, those would be the places that I would potentially say you could use the fund balance. The bridge being out there concerns me with that size. I don't know what others' perspective is on it.
The one other item I would mention that I know at some point, I think the Energy Committee is going to be coming forward, but we're talking about doing energy improvement to the high school. That may take some fund balance money. Right now, we don't have the estimate of that cost. Last time was somewhere around $1 million. There may be a loan we can take from Eversource. That's how we funded the last round of energy improvements. There may be a loan, but I still think that's only going to be part of the payments, and we still may need funding from fund balance to do the rest. So just that's the other item that you need to keep in mind.
Right.
Thank you, Bob.
And can I ask another question? I can't see you, so I don't. Yes, thank you. we kept the fund balance high last year, if I'm remembering correctly, because we did not know what was going to happen with the legislature, with their reimbursements for education. Remember, if everything was very murky last year with the budget. This year we have COVID-19, and we have a potential, as you mentioned a second ago, for maybe tax revenue not being as strong as you anticipated. And we do hope, I mean, I would assume we're hoping that it would come back at some point. I wonder if those things would argue for us trying to keep a higher fund balance again for that reason.
Sarah, I mean, again, that's something we will discuss as a board, but I definitely think it makes sense. I don't know if others have comments at this point. All right. Okay.
Yes, sorry. The logic, as Sarah is saying, while keeping it strong, it's a very good argument. But over the years, I would say that we've always had a strong fund balance for those times that life is just tough for us. The bridge, the pandemic, life's tough for us. I would say I don't want to go below 15, but this is, if we do drop it, this will be the year we'd have to go below it. So I don't want to be rigid and say we have to hold that. But let's just see how it plans out. Keeping it as high as possible, yes, that's what I'd like to do. But I don't want us fixating that we can't drop it below 15 if we have to. Just my opinion.
Chad, if I could, the one other reason that you keep the fund balance higher is when you go to bond, the rating agencies will look at it and it keeps our interest rate lower. So, and the rating agencies want you to be somewhere around 15 to 17%, and so, you know, we're in that higher range right now. But that's the other reason we want to keep a fund balance healthy.
This is Andrew. Just FYI to the board, I'm assuming my math is correct here. To keep our fund balance at 15%, we could decrease that to keep the percentage of the fund balance, you could get the unassigned fund balance down to just under $6 million. Now we'll keep us at our 15% mark.
Yeah. No, and the one thing is I actually think all right. Any other comments on fund balance? All right. Thank you, Bob. If we can move on to our next topic to look at kind of our revenue estimates. Oh, I guess we do revenue before we do Board of Finance. So there okay. We go. So if we look at our packets that were there, I don't know what a couple of things that we said we wanted to talk through a little bit. I don't know if anybody had questions about the revenue estimates that were provided. I know we talked about them last week as well. Is there any estimates? So can we get an update? I know one of the things we had asked about was investment income. Currently, I believe we have that slated in at $235,000 right now. Do we have any updates, either Bill or Bob, on kind of how we should feel about that and if there's a thought that potentially we should lower those estimates given the current environment?
Well, I mean, I'll chime in. I certainly think they need to be lowered. under the current environment, I don't think we're going to meet. I mean, we already did lower them a little bit from the prior year based on just what we were seeing this year. But I just don't see the economy rebounding that quick. And so, you know, right now interest rates are pretty low, and that's basically how we get a lot of our money. So I think that they should be lower. Bill, you spoke to the investment people, I think. What did they have to say?
Yeah, they basically uttered the same feedback. The interest rates are going to remain low for a long time. And, you know, right now, as far as, you know, investments, there's not a whole lot. A lot of people are frozen in what they're doing. So, you know, I would recommend a, you know, conservative approach, lowering it a bit. But I'm going to get some more feedback from some of the groups I've been speaking with.
Does anybody on the board have thoughts or recommendations and on where you would recommend we would send that number?
This is Kevin. I was going to ask William. It's hard for me to put a figure in there if I don't know what the interest rate is. And I know the Fed's loaded down to zero. What exactly I know, and I know 10 years ago we were getting 0.01, and that's the figure we actually used. I just need your take on what you would think would be a realistic number for us to put in there. Because I wouldn't know. It'd be just a shot in the dark for me to guess at a number.
Well, let me go back to the accounts to see what a reasonable number is going to be. I don't have that right now, but I can come up with some.
Okay, I understand.
Bob, point of process, because that's going to be a key input to our decision for tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the number I was looking at was lowering at 70,000. And there's no crystal ball for that. If Bill could answer that question, he'd be working somewhere other than here. So it's just, you know, we really don't know, but I think 70,000 is a place where we could start out anyways, just to try to figure out what impact it's going to have on the budget.
I lack in the understanding of where to throw that dart. 70,000 sounds good to me.
Well, I think part of our role is going to be to figure out all these cumulative changes, what impact is it going to have on the budget? So I think just for discussion purposes, we should put some number in there just to figure out, you know, okay, where are we in the budget when we get all done talking?
Yeah, you know, I think 70,000 is as good as any. We can start with that and then play with it.
I agree. We'll just start that and play with it. If it's okay with you, Jen, you got to make that call.
I am okay that we start at 70,000. My pessimistic brain was lower than that, but again, it's my crystal ball and my dartboard, so I am very open to other recommendations of the 70. And I think we start there and we can do some understanding of where we are on the overall revenue impact. Because we have to remember there's going to be things we do correct here tonight and there's going to be things that we don't get correct. The goal is to get them on a balance, the best estimate that we can.
Right.
So, we'll start with 70 and we'll look at the aggregate picture and understand what that means. Are there other places from a revenue perspective that anybody on the board would like to recommend that we take some adjustments to or have a dialogue on? Bob, I saw that we increased the private duty that's up there on the screen, kind of from where we were last year, and at least year to date, we were running pretty well relative to our budget from last year. We think that's at all impacted in going to have risk, or are you still comfortable with the 90?
I'm still comfortable with the 90. We know there's some construction projects, there'll be utility work. They'll still need, you know, the officers darkening traffic in the street. The one that I think we got to have a discussion on at some point is the, and it's a small number, but the swimming pool fees. You know, we have $32,000 in there for revenue from selling swimming pool passes. We don't know if we'll make that number.
I guess here's a question, though, because I see that year to date we have $6,000. So I was operating under the assumption that the bulk of that 32 would come in the summer of 2021. So are we looking at the risk being more the $5,000 to $6,000 from July and August kind of?
Yeah,
daily?
That's true. No, actually, that's a good point. That would be. Well, I mean, you get some during the summer. So if, I guess the question is if the pool is going to be open, then you would have less, but you certainly would have some, because presumably it wouldn't be open, so you wouldn't get day passes and things this summer, but you hopefully would be getting the money next spring.
But to the point, we have 41,000 here kind of between daily passes and the regular pool passes, and it looks like at least year to date, so what we would have gotten in the July August of 2019 is sitting in the 12,000 range. So there is a question on, would we want to lower this a little bit? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Does anybody on the board have a thought or recommendation on that?
I'd be comfortable with lowering that number under the assumption that this it's going to continue on into June. In several of the articles I've already read, that it's going to be in somebody's psychics that even when they open it up, we probably are not going to have mobs of people on the street, even though we think that's going to happen. In reality, it may not happen. So I don't think everybody's going to flood the roads. That's just my opinion. That's what, you know, that's what I read. So I'm comfortable with it.
I entirely agree with dropping it. What I'm not sure of is how much to drop it, because my guess is people will not be congregating very much this summer either. But when they flatten the curve, it doesn't drop off the edge of the curve. It just extends it longer. So, you know, we may at some point be told it's okay to go out in public again, but the virus is still going to be out there. So my guess is that we'll lose a tremendous amount of revenue. What percentage, I don't know. That's what I'm not sure about. So I don't know what to recommend. I think it should be lower.
So my recommendation would be potentially we lower it by a half. So if we got 12,000 last year in the July and August time frame between those two things, we would put a 6,000 reduction.
Sorry, Jane, you said a what reduction?
6,000. It's small in the grant scheme.
This is Andrew. I can see 50%. I was thinking 40% reduction, but I can see 50% to be a little more conservative with it.
Yeah, I'd be happy with 50%.
Yeah, I agree also. I was going to say 50.
So if it's a 50% reduction, then you're going down to 16,000?
Yes, from 32, yeah.
And I guess, guys, we have to think of timing. The majority of that 32 comes
come next
in
year.
June of 2021. I was actually, if you looked one column to the left, the calendar year or the current year actuals, excuse me, we got $6,000 in July and August of 19, and then we got another $6,000 in daily attendance.
Yep.
That was the $12,000 that I was looking at and just saying reduce those two lines by a total of $6,000 between the two of them. I don't know if you guys think that that is too conservative, or excuse me, too aggressive, and you were proposing more.
I don't think it's too aggressive. I think it's realistic.
So, Bob, you could make, just for ease of simplicity, you could make the duck swimming pool one 26,000.
Okay.
At least as a starting point, and we can remember the places we've reduced.
So it's 12,000 out of swimming pool fees total.
Everybody okay with 12? That's fine.
Yes.
To me, this is a rounding error.
Okay.
Yes. Thanks, Bob. Any other places that people had questions on from the outlook? One place that I would call out we're increasing year over year is in the Hartford tuition. I believe that that's up a level. So we have to remember when we talk about the increase in special education costs at the Board of Education, some of those we get to bill Hartford back for. Yeah, it was one up, one page up. It's up there in the middle here where it's permits and licenses, the Board of Education, Hartford.
Yep.
You know, we had 150 in this year. Susan and Kevin, I don't know if you want to talk about the 300,000. I think that that is in line with what you are estimating we will be able to bill next year from Hartford. So part of our special education increases are being offset by a revenue increase. I wanted to make sure that A, we were all comfortable with the 300, and then B, just make sure people were aware of that aspect of the increase in expense being offset.
Yes, Jen. So just to put some numbers to it, this year's billing to Hartford, so 1920, the services total approximately 295,000 is some change for 35 students had services, 12 had services that were billable. So that was services that their cumulative total was over 8,000 a student. That's our threshold at Hartford. Next year, as we know it, we'll have a equitable number of students, and three students will be outplaced. They currently are outplaced this year and are part of our out-of-district tuition increase for this year that we've talked to the board about. Next year, two of those students will be for full year outplacements, and that total increase is $163,000 of our increase in special ed. And that's reflected here as a pass-through. So going from 150 to 300, most of that represents those two outplacements.
Susan, I know you said we could expect the number to be the same. If we're able to bill 295,000 this year, would we expect that we would be able to bill more than 300,000 next year? Because we're going to have a full year of those outplacements of those two students, or do student needs change year over year such that you can't just add the two together?
Exactly.
And I'm not trying to, then I'm more trying to annualize one of them and just see is 300 a low end of what you would expect to bill?
No, it's still in, I tried to quantify a little bit out for you in an email, but we have, as I said, 35 students that have IEPs. As of the time I billed, only 12 of them were above the threshold. We're seeing the trend go the other way. So these students, as they get older, their services generally decrease unless they're outplaced. And our special ed team is doing a great job trying to keep those services in district with our staff, which is much lower cost. So we could see our number of IEPs increase, we could see the number of students increase, but we could see the number of billable students decrease or stay somewhat the same. So because we do have these three outplacements, that's why I'm comfortable with the 300. I wouldn't be comfortable with more. I really couldn't justify whether or not I could sustain that kind of revenue above that.
Does anybody have any questions about that line?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Any other questions on revenue? I know the other open item we'll discuss when we get to the spreadsheet is what percentage of tax collection we want to assume, but I am saving that for the fund later. Does that work? Or any other revenue questions? All right. Hearing none. Remember.
I'm trying to get unmuted there. This is Ken. Just to go over it again, we've gone over it again, but the transfer station, it looks pretty healthy right now, but I know we are looking at some tipping fees. What is the very latest on that? Have you heard anything different in the last couple of weeks on that?
No, actually, I have not. It still is, as far as I know, an outstanding issue. They were hoping to get some sort of support from the legislature, either special legislation or some sort of grant. Obviously, with the legislature not in session, that hasn't come through. So as far as I know, it's still an ongoing issue. We have, I think it's $100 a ton, which is a significant increase for the tipping fees for the transfer station. So I think we've got, well, my understanding is what they expect the tipping fee to be next year. I think we've got it covered, but it is an issue that's ongoing. It hasn't been settled by any means.
Okay, thanks. That's it on that part. Thank you.
All right. With that, I'm going to recommend that we move forward to a discussion of the Board of Finance budget for 2020-21. Which Bob sent out new exhibits this morning, or this afternoon, sometime today. I think on the bottom, we have a summary of this here.
Yeah, I can run through those a little bit. There really wasn't any changes from the biggest change from the prior year were in two different areas. One, last year you had put in $72,860 for teachers' pension because there was a concern that the town may have to contribute to the teachers' pension. That concern is no longer there, so that amount has been eliminated. The amount for the budget mailer and auditor, the budget mailer remains the same. The auditor went up, I think I put it up 5,000, and I think that we still need to talk to the auditor about the nail down that cost, but that should cover it. And then the other change, we still have the capital non-reoccurring 22,000, which is to pay the revaluation every 5 years. So that will cover that amount. That's the amount we put in every year. And then the last is the debt service. Debt service is going down. It was a little over $2 million last year. Now it's going down to $1.9 million. So the debt service has dropped 8.2%. So that's one spot where you're picking up some savings. Other than that, I don't know. There's really much to, a lot of discretion in all those areas.
Question, Jen, are we going to talk at some point about the debt service as to whether we should look into refinancing any of this with the low interest rates?
So we mentioned last week that we would, I think I remember this conversation, it's definitely kind of on the list of to-dos, and it is not something that is going to be done kind of going through this cycle, I mean, to finalize the budget, because we have not gotten it done yet. So any potential good guy that we might get through that process would help generate potentially some opportunity, like outlook into positive. We could go through dialogue throughout next year if things come up, appropriations, as we start to see how things are evolving. We would potentially be able to use
any savings we could get through that and look at using expenses elsewhere potentially. But we won't know anything for tonight. Bob, did I say anything?
No, we do, like we said at the last meeting, we do intend to talk to our bond consultants, find out what the market is, find out what the savings are, but it's certainly not something we're going to do that would impact the budget line in this budget. Down the road, it could.
And I think we said that Bill was going to keep an eye on it in the next few weeks, and maybe at our next meeting talk about it. That's fine. I just wasn't sure if we were going to try to do anything with it tonight. Okay, thank you.
I think with that, we are looking at a Board of Finance budget of $1,985,513 in total. Anybody? So I think we need to entertain a motion on that. And Bob, that is slightly different than the number we had before. What did I do wrong?
Don't know.
Oh, no. That's right. 1,985,513. I think the one change is that we are changing the auditor number.
Okay.
From potentially what we have seen before.
Yeah. So what do you have for the Board of Finance, or for your bottom line on the Board of Finance budget?
I added them to get $1,985,513. I don't know if anybody else happened to check my math.
Hey, Bill, can you check that?
The difference from the spread. Would probably be proven wrong here.
$1,984,913.
I had $985,513. We're adding $1,912,913 for debt service, plus $50,600 for the operating, plus $22,000 for the capital and non-recurring. Did anybody else add those same numbers and get the same thing? Anybody on the board have a chance to add those?
What'd you come up with again?
$1,985,513.
Yep, that's what I came up with too.
Okay, great. So now, Bob,
I need three numbers, but
do we need a motion for that?
Yeah, you will eventually have a motion for. Usually, you do it for all three.
All three at the end. Okay, got it. Anybody have questions about the Board of Finance budget?
Nope.
Okay. All right, so with that, why don't we move into the next agenda topic, which is really a general discussion of our proposed fiscal year 2020-2021 Board of Selectmen, Board of Education, and Board of Finance budgets and our projected mill rate. So, Bob, if you don't mind maybe pulling up the spreadsheet.
Yeah, I just wanted to do one other thing first.
Or if there's anything you want me to do, Bob, to try and help, I can't.
Do you want the, I'm sorry, which spreadsheet do you want? The long range spreadsheet?
Pardon me?
Which spread, do you want the long range spreadsheet?
Yes. Work?
Yep.
Everybody on the board that we would launch into that?
Yes, sounds good.
Sounds good.
I know some of the members on the board have been, you know, with us and know how this goes for a couple of the new ones. Essentially, now this is our dialogue on where are all the places that we have seen. Bob, I don't know if you would like me to do a quick familiarization to the worksheet, or if you want to just run a quick reminder of how it flows and where we're sitting with everything as we've done it so far.
Yeah, I just have to get the... that spreadsheet up. It's, I don't know why it's being finicky.
You want me to try to share?
I've got it. I'll just won't do it.
Thank you.
Can you see it now?
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. If you want, I can run through this quickly. The this is set up year over year. So you'll see the column here is fiscal year ending June 30, 2019. So these are actual numbers. If you look to the next year, these are what we have budgeted numbers for the current fiscal year. And then these are the, this is the budget we're working on for next year. So it's divided up. First, you have the town budget, and it's divided up by category, not by department. And then you have the bottom line here, 11,602, with it, which is a 5.4% increase. You have the same thing for the Board of Education and then their bottom line. And then you have the same thing. You have the same thing for the Board of Finance budget that you just passed, which is I think we're going to have to correct that a little bit, add some money there. And then you have total expenditures for the whole budget. And then you have our revenues, which, again, they're going to have to be modified a little bit. And then you come down to how much are we, so once you figure out how much that we owe in total, what we have from non-taxable revenues, and then the difference is what we have to get from the taxpayers, which is $35,848,000. This is the grand list, so this is where we have to draw from. 33.16 mills is what we'd have to tax that grand list in order to come up with the $35 million. And then that equals a 3.53% increase over the prior mill rate. Right now, it's based on a 99% collection rate. We can change that. We probably will, but that is what this number is based on. And then it goes into a little bit about the undesignated fund balance and some other things. And then it indicates what the tax increase would be on the average taxpayer, which is currently $297. And then down here, if we want to change and make it, you know, 98.5, we can do that, and it automatically shows what the difference is. So that's the spreadsheet in a nutshell. And then it goes out multiple years. Most of the columns I have hidden because we have many years in here. But the main one we're focusing on is the shaded one here.
Do we want to, Bob, see what's happened? So a couple things that we've decided tonight. We've lowered our revenue already by $82,000 from what was in here, because we lowered the investment income by $70,000, or we discussed doing that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Let's just figure out where we're starting from with at least those things that we've already discussed. So, yeah, we need to make that one $50,600. And then what did we say? That 235,000 in investment income, we said we were going to lower by 70,000.
And then what was the other one we were going to lower? Was it department revenue by 12,000?
Yeah, that was cool, right? Yeah.
Okay. So those were those changes, right. And then we had the Board of Finance changes. So we should be up to date, I think.
Yes. The sad thing is that did change us to a 3.78% increase in the mill rate, which I'm going to open the conversation up to discussion with the board on if there's places through the course of conversation. I'm just going to open it up to a discussion from the board at this point.
Is it possible to see the collection rate change?
Sure, I'll make it 98.5.
Is that low enough, Bob?
It's not prior history, I think it is, but I guess, you know, nobody knows. Whoops, that's not right.
It's real guesswork at this point, but we did get some letters from some people who have rental properties saying that they're concerned about collections. I don't know if there are going to be any people losing their houses, you know, due to job losses. It's really early to tell whether we'll have any lasting impact.
Just remember, the lower you make that collection rate, the higher you have to tax the people.
No, I understand the repercussions. I just don't want to be unrealistic, that's all. I'm not sure I have a lot more than that.
Yep, two things. So Executive Order 7S from the governor, and we don't know Board of Selectmen is going to vote for on this, but there is the potential. Or Bob, do either one of you want to explain what that executive order is, just about the deferral of tax payments and the due dates? It may just be kicking the can on collection, but it at least provides an opportunity potentially for the town to entertain something.
Yeah, what it says is that we have an additional, or those who are substantially negatively impacted by COVID-19 will have an additional 90 days to pay their taxes. And then also there's a opportunity to adopt a lower interest rate during that period too. So there's a couple of different options, but the primary one is that if you have really two things you can do. One is just delay the taxes. Anybody who wants to wait can wait 90 days to pay them. Or there's a form you make them fill out, so they'd have to fill out and basically swear and verify that they've been impacted negatively by COVID-19, and then they have the additional 90 days to pay their taxes. Which, you know, we need to look at it from a cash flow standpoint too. I think we'll be okay, but you know, I'm not sure every municipality will be. And it's optional. It needs to be voted on and approved by the Board of Selectmen.
Like, bring it up that at least that is some of the things that the state is considering and some of the things that are out there. And I know that we looked at the collection history back in the other, you know, times we've seen the recession. And I know that the tax collector, Bob, you had gotten some suggestions from her, I believe, during our last meeting where she said she felt comfortable with the 98.5 assumption. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think she was comfortable with the 98.5.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong.
Other thing.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Oh, go ahead, Andrew.
I was just going to say the 98.5, wasn't that what the collection percentage was during the last recession, Bob, do you recall?
It was. That was my understanding. And looking back historically, it was a 98.5, and we had met that 95. I think that's what it was budgeted at, and we had brought in a little bit over 100% of budgeted revenue.
Okay. I mean, this is a little bit of a different animal this time around. Last recession, we didn't have a virus shutting the economy down, but however, it was a recession nonetheless. That's probably our closest comparison to make at this time.
And this is a 90-day extension, so with the tax bills due 1st of July, we would expect the money to be coming in hopefully 1st of October. So it's not as though it would be vaporizing, we hope. So I think I'm comfortable with the 98.5.
I've lived through 98.5 is very comfortable.
The other thing to consider is that income taxes, federal and state, for what people owe for 19 has been pushed out to mid July also. So, I mean, to Bob's point, you're just kicking the can down the road, but is that going to cause a situation if we consider last year economically was very good and there's people that owe that now are not able to pay, that they're pushing out their personal income taxes, state and federal, which is a greater chance that they push their property taxes out because of wanting to delay income taxes. Not any reason to change the 98.5, but just another thing to consider that might impact that more people electing the 90-day delay.
The one category of taxpayers that the deferment will not apply to by the governor's order are those that have their taxes escrowed. So if you have your taxes escrowed through a bank, you have to pay them at the regular time, which only makes sense. I mean, you put them in there throughout the year, you should be able to make the payment in July. So escrow payments still have to be made in July. And there's a fair chunk of people out there that pay their taxes through their mortgage payments and their escrow. So that's, you know, it is somewhat limited to the people who can take advantage of that deferment. The other thing I'll just say, as far as the income taxes go, and sales taxes for that matter, we may feel that next year because they may need to make changes to the state budget, and they've done that mid-year. And based on reduction in receipts, you may see that midway through the year, they may adjust some of the revenues that they say we're going to be receiving. So just, you know, you have to keep that in mind. We'll have to address it when it happens, but I would not be surprised if that happened.
I think that goes to the fund balance conversation from earlier.
Yeah.
Bob, I have a question. The half percent decrease to the collection rate that you made, what did that do to the mill rate percentage increase for the upcoming budget?
Yep, it went up to 4.31%.
From what, though?
You remember? Well, whatever it was before I changed it. I don't. I'm
I was
sorry.
Curious. I was curious how much the half percent increase the mill rate increase.
We started at 3.53 before we played with the income.
Yeah, actually, she's right. It was. Yeah, it was 3.53, yeah.
3.5, so nearly a percent. I mean, 0.8%, wow. It's by a half percent decrease spent.
Well, that was a combination of two things, though. That was a change on the income and a change in the percentage.
Okay, okay.
Well, Bob, could you back it up? I'm sorry, Jen.
Yeah, I can make it 19 again if you want to see it.
Let's back it up. Let's see what it did.
Just curious.
$3.78
Okay.
Okay.
About half percent.
Okay. And just so everybody knows, I believe that's $180,000 is the offset if you were to, want to find that somewhere, like through a fund balance usage or something to that extent. I believe $180,000 would offset that half a percent movement. Right. So we're starting with those changes. Does anybody have concerns or believe that we need to adjust our revenue at this point, at least before we start looking at the expense line items? Are there any other questions or thoughts on the assumptions around the macro revenue and the tax payment rate that people would like to look at and understand?
Not here, no.
For me.
So now I believe let's entertain just some discussions from I don't know if anybody has comments overall that they would like to make relative to the 4.31% at this point, or expenses that you would like to begin addressing.
You going alphabetical again?
Sure, we can go alphabetical. Sarah, where do you want to start? Or you can pass.
I have a general question, I guess for Bob. As I'm looking at the Board of Selectmen budget, the town budget, it's a 5.4% overall. And looking at some of the big categories, wondering if you were to put your fingers on where the really big jumps are, because that's a big increase over last year. And we know that we have some, union contracts that are immovable. But what are the other big ones that are jumping out that that are different than last year?
The big three items that are the primary factors in the Board of Selectmen budget is the Board of Ed CIP, which was $196,000, which wasn't in there last year, now it is. Right. The two paid firefighters, which ran for a half a year in the current budget. Now next year will be on a full year budget, so we have to pay an additional half year, which is $61,000. And then there's the defined benefit pension plan, where because of new estimates of how long town employees live, that went up, 73,000 because of that, and went up 100,000 in total. So if you take the Board of Ed CIP, the two paid firefighters, and the pension plan, if it wasn't for those items, the Board of Selectmen budget would be 2.2%. So those three items are really the drivers. I know we put a number of things in here. There's four Board of Selectmen goals, but when you add them up, it's not a lot of money. Those three things are the main drivers.
Can I ask a follow-up question, Jen?
Yes.
The firefighters, now we're going to two full-paid firefighters. Again, we had them half year this year, now they're going to full. What are you anticipating for more staff for firefighting as we go forward in future years?
Right now, we're not anticipating any. I've asked Bruce Lockwood that question, and he said he doesn't have a crystal ball, but right now he's not anticipating any others. We certainly haven't had any discussion with either the fire chief or with the about adding any additional. Right now, we're just looking to add one paid and then some part-timers that would be equal to one FTE. And we don't anticipate any others at this time.
Thank you, Jen.
All right, Ken, do you have any comments or thoughts at this point?
Yeah, just some. I'm going to, as I said, talk about the SRO. I think this is, for the school, this is definitely the wrong year to bring that forward. It's not whether I'm for or against having the guy in there. This is just an economic sense. It's the wrong year to bring him in. Yep. I would like to have that totally cut. And I have, somebody was talking to me, and all of a sudden in the conversation, I realized, how is that gentleman or individual going to get from school A to B to C? Are we going to provide him with a vehicle? And if we do, then I'm really not for the SRO this year. And I'd like to see that cut out of the budget. And then just the other stuff is so trivial. The chair down at the, you guys were asking for 1.2. I have done 1.2K for a special chair. That can't be right. For the dispatcher, is that right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I jump in for that? Was a question that came up before, Ken? Just the chair, it was a whole bunch of different things for the facility.
Right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah.
Yes, I wonder the same.
Again, these are things that they're nice to have, but this is probably, I hate to say it, but this is the wrong year to put it on the budget, because, I mean, just look at what we just did to it now. We just increased it, the percentage. The town in the last 2 years has not gotten an increase of 2%. Except maybe last year, but now we're looking at giving them a 4% increase. And we have, I have no idea what the unemployment rate is today because I can't keep track of it fast enough. We're going to give them a budget that's not going to pass. If we have it that high, we're going to have to cut back. And those are the two, the chair I just threw out, but it's just, the officer, I saw the pictures on the truck. I can't argue the point on the truck. I mean, a cracked frame is a cracked frame, and that's just takes it out. But I was hoping maybe just eliminate the plow, the tiller, all those things. The trivial stuff that's nice to have, but we don't need it to make the town function. And I would like to concentrate more on the original purpose of what a town government does, and to pull away from the luxuries that we've been able to afford over the past several years that we totally would have agreed on if this conversation took place in December. But it's not. It's taking place now. And I know they're talking about a quick recovery, but as I said the last time, this is the economics on this is being written. Nobody has a crystal ball to look in the future happen because we've never gone out and stopped the economy. Not during World War II, not during the Great Recession of 2008, none of that. Not even during the Depression did we outright stop the economy. But this time around, we're stopping it. So we have an unknown. And I'm not going to support a budget that high in the percentage. It just, it won't fly with the town people. So, all right, I'm off my soap opera. Thank you, Jim.
If I'm hearing you correctly, but I just want to make sure I'm hearing correctly, you would potentially say a recommendation of a $90,000 budget reduction to Board of Education. And while we do not make that decision, or potential for the board to consider would be that they look at that SRO position. But again, it is not our discretion.
Jen, you're absolutely right. It has to be made. We cannot do a line item. You're right. But that is the reason why I'm saying the 90,000.
That would also take out the 11K from the Board of Selectmen budget because they had part of the SRO.
They are too. Jen, you want me to keep track of this just for, being able to see its impact on the mill rate?
If you can, and what I'd say in the Board of Education line, if everybody's good, let's just put it in the CIP. If you just put it in CIP, well, it's
going to reach. I'm going to put in other. Other works the same way.
Other's what we used over past, Jim. We just put it in the other line because we all know where it is.
Yep, that's fine. I like it because it just shows up in the CIP line as a negative. We don't have that luxury in the Board of Selectmen, but got it. Other. Katie's suggestion is that you would reduce the Board of Selectmen by that 11,000.
Yeah, 11,651. Mm-hmm. All right, we're down to 4.01. We're all set.
Woo-hoo! And then, Jen, you also had another really easy one, which was when you had pointed out that Tom Richardson was being counted twice.
Ah, that's right.
And so, Andy, I think you had something in addition to that, and it ended up totaling 67 in the Board of Ed budget.
That's right.
Were just errors.
Yeah, I think that was, Kevin, we had that conversation, just there was a couple of double budgeting that was worth about $67,000, so I would agree with that one, potentially.
Yes, I can jump in with the specific dollar amount. So okay. With the double encumbrance for the teacher salary, that was $23,104. And then the superintendent of buildings and grounds, that was 40,000. So you're talking about the combination of both of those, and you're correct.
Mm-hmm. 63, not 67, but.
And then there was $3,395 mm-hmm. for taxes and Medicare. So those three items.
What was that number, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm sorry. 3,395.
Okay.
Katie, are there other observations or comments that you had from the dialogue?
No, I think Ken already, you know, the big one, so that's.
Andrew, were there comments that you heard through the conversation or just thoughts that you had that you would, you know, want us to entertain or consider?
Yes, I had a question. The town CIP, well, there's only one CIP now. I just think I answered my own question. I was noticing that was about a $200,000 increase, but we're adding the $196,000 Board of Ed portion of that CIP, which basically accounts for that entire increase. So the town portion of the CIP should be fairly similar to what it was on this current budget, the $1,056,000.
It is. It's very close.
Yep.
It wasn't for the Board of Ed CIP.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know there was some things in the CIP that I thought were probably nice to have. I think there was a couple of crosswalk signals, if I remember right, was around $11,000. I think the dollar amount was.
There is. Yep. I'll be honest with you, they are a very needed safety feature, but I understand.
Yeah.
We've got a lot more people doing a lot more walking, and the people who are still driving are driving like maniacs. I'm feeling very aware of at the moment.
All right. Those intersections are a big concern for the town.
Yep. I know we talked about it last meeting too with the Board of Ed portion of the CIP with the carpet to tile transition there. I think it was in intermediate school, if I'm not mistaken. That was phase two coming up, was this year. And then there was one additional expenditure too.
Painting, the painting, CIS.
Painting.
There was also a question on the $74,000 for the maintenance of the track field.
Right, yeah, that was $74,000 that's put away every year in anticipation of major repairs every 10 years. Yeah, was there any, did we ever get any, I know the question was asked about, instead of doing it on the 10th year, which we're on year five of that 10 years, instead of doing it on the 10th year, could we do it on the 11th year and forego $74,000 in the CIP this year?
Andrew, can I step in? This is Ken.
Sure, of course.
He hit about something I thought of. You know, we could, and I'll throw this out to the Board of Finance, we could forego that this year, but for the next 4 years, we budget $100,000 for that track to make up the $25,000 per year to make that up. So 10 years, we can change the track out. I'm just saying that is an idea that we could do, if barring that we don't know what's going to happen to finances of the United States this year. We can go ahead and just postpone that. But we do it. Again, we're going to be on. We're going to have to make that up. Now, the second thing, like we take money from the fund balance before and paid it right into the taxes, I'm assuming we're going to do that again tonight. We could know we're going to have the $75,000 deficit, and in 5 years, we know we're going to pull it out of the fund balance and pay that, with the history to understand that we had to postpone it this year. That's something we'd all have to be comfortable with, you know.
So, Jay, how do we take out those three CIP items?
I'm going to ask the board that, because, again, guys, it's us giving some recommendation. It would be the town in conjunction with the Board of Education to understand if we cut the CIP by that amount, how and where would they, you know, recommend that cut gets made. So the question on the table is, do you want to take out all three of those items, or do you want to start with potentially a number that gives flexibility to the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education? Regardless, they have flexibility per se, because it's deciding.
Well, I have a question. Because I know wasn't there an agreement between the Board of Ed and the town to redo the track every 10 years? So if 70, say we just did $74,000 out of the CIP, could we not do the maintenance on the 10th year? How does that agreement work, if there's an agreement?
I'll answer. I know Bob's probably got a better answer, but I'll answer. That is understood that could happen if the track is in good enough shape, but it's recommended by the manufacturer to do it 10 years.
Right.
So we as a town would have to make that call at the 10 year mark. And that, again, thank you for bringing that up, because that is another point to what I was saying about this. We could at that time actually extend out 1 year if the track is in good enough shape that we can get another year out of. I think Bob explained to us last week that right now it's in very good shape. And Bob clarifies, that in very good shape for the number of years it's been in use?
Kevin, I think you're the one who said it was in good shape.
Yeah, so Ken, I'm the one that made that comment. And yes, it's in excellent shape for its age right now, yes.
Okay, so
I would just want to respectfully ask the Board of Finance to give the Board of Education guidance on that. I can tell you right now that we would not be comfortable reducing that amount out of our budget unless you gave direct guidance on that. And that was part of the minutes.
Okay, to understand what you're saying, Kevin, if we make a decision on that, you want us to tell you exactly how we're going to go forward with this?
Because for the track field, definitely, because that was part of an agreement with the town.
Right.
And I don't believe the Board of Education would be comfortable reducing that without direct guidance.
Okay, I accept that. I accept that. I don't want to use the word challenge, but I'll accept your
request.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Old person moment there.
I
got a couple of thoughts.
Bob Skinner, can I just pause you? Can you please make these adjustments we're talking about to the CIP line and not to the Board of Education line?
So okay.
Yep. CIP. Sorry. I do see what you're doing there.
That's fine.
Can I throw an idea out there too? With regards to that $74,000 for the track and field, what if we cut that in half? So about 37,000-ish, somewhere around there. And then the difference that we're taking, that's being taken out, add that into CIPs for next year, but divide it up, say, over 3 years or 4 years. So it's maybe a $8,000 increase, $10,000 increase.
That's an idea. Let's see what it looks like if we take it all out, mm-hmm. and then we can go back and let's see if we take out half of it. I'd like to know those numbers before we go forward. Go ahead, sure. Sarah.
I was going to say that I like the idea of not spending the $74,000 this year and continue to spend $74,000 in each of the subsequent 4 years, and then at that 10-year mark, decide, do we need to resurface it then, or could it wait till the 11th year? And if it needs it, take it out from the discretionary fund and use it that way. I thought that was a good idea.
I would like to hear the other members' point on that, because I don't want to stand alone in my opinion on this. I will say, I'm actually looking at what Sarah says. I like that idea the best, but I also like the idea of doing $100,000. Let's ask each one of the other members what they think. Thank you.
Can I add one more thing? One of my concerns is that if we continue to pay every year, when we hit that 10-year mark, are we going to absolutely resurface that track? Or are we going to say, gee, do we need to resurface the track every year? Just leave the money in the bank to do it. That's one of my concerns.
I can tell you, as a general principle, we rarely replace things on the salesman's recommendations. So that, you know, they always tell us to replace the truck within 8 years. We never do. A roof's supposed to last 20. We usually replace it at 25 if we're lucky. So, you know, but the good thing is the Board of Ed does have it inspected every year. So if issues are developing, we should know it before the 10-year mark. So we should have a good idea. And in year 9, if all of a sudden we see that it's advancing quicker than we thought or on schedule, you may have to increase the amount you put in that year. But I think the fact that the Board of Ed hasn't inspected every year, you know, will give us a heads up as to whether or not we need to increase that amount going forward in a later year to make up for not doing it this year.
Jen, can I chime in for a sec?
Yes, please do, Julie.
I just want to reiterate what Kevin said about making sure whatever's decided around the amount put in for track field, about that agreement with the town. I know there are people in town that will remember that agreement, and it will come up probably in public hearings. So I just, whatever is decided, it needs to be recorded in the minutes, and somehow if some other sort of, it needs to be in writing so that it doesn't come back to the Board of Ed somehow, some way, and it said we didn't hold up our end of the bargain.
Jan, can I talk here? Julie, I hear what you're saying. That's why the Board of Finance gets paid the big bucks to do our job. We'll take the hit.
Can we hear, so John, do you have a perspective? I know Ken had said, do you have a perspective on the CIP budget and the actions being discussed?
Absolutely. I guess, not that there's anything we can do about it, but to clarify the issue with the track, the original way it was proposed to the town for the referendum was not only would the funds be set aside to replace it, but there would also be regular rentals and revenue generated that would go directly to that sinking fund, if you will. So it goes a step further than just putting money aside. And again, that was the recommendation from the original study committee that went to the Board of Ed, to facilities, was voted on, and then ultimately sold to the town. Secondly, I'll say, if we look at a 10-year replacement scenario, arguably this year, we got a half a year for free. So can we split it down the middle and consider 10 and a half years and throw half into the, you know, into the column for the budget? That's it.
That pretty much goes along with what Andrew was saying.
Katie, yes. do you have a thought?
I could go either way. I mean, I was interested in Sarah's suggestion about, you know, trying to see if we could put it out another year and then if we needed to take it out of the general fund. But I'm also fine with just saying, why don't we do half?
Well, I say we do it both ways to see what the numbers work out. You know, do the full 74 taken out and everything out, you know, other little line items, you know, dollar amounts, I should say, taken out, and then see where it lands. And then we do 37,000 instead of 74 and see where it lands.
I'll concur to that. I would like to see those numbers.
Sure. That's a good idea.
Please update the spreadsheet to say 37,000.
Like 37 or 74?
37.
So
74
right now.
Yeah, make it 37. Kevin, do you know what the income from the track has been this past year?
So it would very little. We've had very few rentals this year. I don't have the exact number of what we've collected over the years, but we can get that for you.
With the cuts we have taken so far, we are at a 3.41% increase. The majority of that is to the CIP at this point. And again, I would just ask that we look at all of the CIP projects. You know, the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education work together. There was a suggestion itemized. Again, we haven't finalized this, and at least now is the way it stands on the track. There's a commitment that we are looking, suggesting, my understanding, Board, correct me, there's a suggestion that we would lower it to funding half this year with an agreement that we will continue through these discussions to get an update on the useful life of the track. If, as we progress through years 6, 7, 8, 9, we start to get an update that the track is not in good shape for its useful life, then we would need to look at funding more than 74,000 to be ready for resurfacing. If we can get all the way to year 10 and we haven't put the 37,000 back, we would look to understand usage of the general fund to resurface on year 10 if there is not useful life yet left in the track. Is that consistent, Board, with what I have heard the conversation?
Yes.
Yes,
so
I understand it. Yes,
Andrew.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Half. You know, half of the 74. And then I know another idea was just the whole 74,000 removed, and then going out to 11 years as opposed to 10. That was another idea. I think that was proposed last meeting. You know, the initial idea.
We will clarify, Kevin and Julie, based on the final number that ends up getting put in, but has what we've stated for the 37 meet kind of the request you have of the Board of Finance?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Bob, just real quick. I think you have the 40K still in that other in the BOE.
Hold on. Okay.
That's for Tom Richardson. Please leave that in there.
Yeah, that should be in there.
That's okay.
Okay.
So 40. Yeah, that looks right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are Are there other, let me see, we've done, Andrew, you brought yours up. John, do you have other points from the conversation that we would have from either the Board of Selectmen discussion or the Board of Education discussion that you would suggest we would look at?
No, I've got a general question about the budget process as far as passing it. What was the change given the COVID-19 accommodations?
I think there's been a couple of things. So the first one is any of our general dates have been allowed to be pushed out 30 days. Something, you know, like theoretically this meeting, we were supposed to be finalized by end of day today with our recommendations. We could push that out 30 days. If we decided and the Board of Selectmen approved, we'll be done with this deliberation by next Monday because we've revised our dates. The other change that was made is that if the governor has not lifted the executive order for large group meetings, the Board of Selectmen can basically give the Board of Finance the right to set the budget. And the way we've outlined that is if that referendum or that order has not been lifted by June 1st, we would not be able to go to a public referendum, and the Board of Finance would need to meet to finalize the budget.
Okay, all right. That was,
I guess. Can I update that? The Board of Selectmen voted at the other night at their meeting. So I can update that if you'd like.
Great, that would be wonderful.
The Board of Selectmen adopted that proposed schedule that is in your package, the modified schedule. And with the one thing that they changed was that if the governor doesn't lift that executive order by May 1st, then the Board of Finance shall approve the budget and set the mill rate. So instead of waiting all the way out to the end of June, they just said, you know, we need a little better finality on this. So they said if by May 1st, it's the governor hasn't rescinded that executive order, then the Board of Finance will approve the budget and set the mill rate. You can still wait till June 1st to do it. There's no rush, but it would be in your hands.
And we are planning the public forum where we would.
The hearing will still have beyond the date that's set in that schedule.
I believe that was May 4th. And so we will know by the time we are in the annual town meeting, of which we are going to allow a public forum on like a call like this, and we'll hear comments from the public on May 4th. And then we would have a regular Board of Finance meeting in May to discuss those comments. And if there's any adjustment, right?
Correct.
John, does that answer your question, John?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Are there other places that other members of the board would like to bring up or mention?
Yeah, this Andrew, with the in the CIP line item, there's the minus 11,000 for the crosswalks. Did we want to see what that would look like, or did we see what that would look like? I can't remember if that was included.
If it was not, I can put it in.
If everyone wants to see what it looks like, you know, we can leave it in. We can leave the 11,000 in and take it out.
Yeah, no, let's see what it looks like, because
I'm all about safety. Now, I'm not against safety at all, but
these crosswalks again were located where?
We've got them in most places where the bike trail crosses a town road. That one, I think we're going to go back and look at. I think it was River Road. Where there's a current crossing now, but we wanted to change out the signal to one that's a little more active, because right now that one doesn't get people's attention.
The one that's by Riverside Nursery, that one?
Yeah, that one. Yep.
Yeah. We just got permission from the DOT to do those three crossings by River Road, over by Maple Avenue, and can't remember the other one. I think it was over, but those are pretty critical. You know, we've had some near misses there.
I think I would remind both the Board of Selectmen and Board of Education, we're obviously all sitting in a situation that is pretty tough, right, from the standpoint of we were starting with a 4.31% increase. I don't know that anybody on this call wants to ask our taxpayers to increase by 4.31. So none of the things that are coming up here are, you know, A, none of them are absolute how you have to make the adjustments, and B, you know, none of them are easy. The other thing I just remind, particularly on these CIP ones, because I don't like seeing us reduce our CIP. I mean, essentially, we're reducing it year over year, but I understand we're in a tough situation and we need to. Any potential opportunities that we see as we understand the expenses this year, and if there's an opportunity that we could use any of these things, or if we, when we see what ends up from this fiscal year, we will always entertain special appropriations and discussion. And I would just encourage all of us to remember that and be as thorough as we can with looking at those opportunities. One thing that I was going to mention is I would like to recommend, if the board is comfortable, that we would suggest that the Board of Education take another $50,000 out and look at the assumption that is being made around the special education excess cost grant. We discussed that last time and had a dialogue around, we're currently using the 64.9. And I think we all, after looking at the good information Susan gave us, that we would potentially do, you could do 70, and that was worth, I think, 49,000 something, something, something. So I rounded it to 50, just to say it out loud, because I did. Just a thought, and I don't know if the board has any concerns with that one, but I would recommend you make that reduction.
Jen, this is Ken. I don't have any problems with that, because I do have other things on my list for the Board of Education. I didn't really want to bring them up because it seemed to be nitpicking. But if they don't take it out of the special education, there's a number of places they can drop 50,000. And I'm just going to say it without giving numbers. Athletics, supply institutions, that's what I have written. I can't remember exactly what that goes to, but there were some stuff they needed for the science lab and stuff like that. It's trivial little stuff, but it's stuff that they can definitely, they can come up with a 50,000 trim. Because I'm looking at what we need to actually operate versus the luxury of the budget we had in December that we all thought we were going to have. Thank you.
Can I switch us to another possible area right now?
Yes, please, Sarah. Let's go back around.
I've been looking at the senior services budget, and it's going up. I mean, we're not talking a lot of money here, but I wonder if this is the year to be increasing the services to seniors. So I wonder if Bob could talk to that or something.
Sure. I can talk to two areas where that's going up primarily. We added $10,000 to the Dial-A-Ride program to add additional transportation for medical trips and for recreational trips primarily. We're going to try to offset some of that with grants and all things and stretch out as far as we can. We have heard a reoccurring theme over the years that there's additional transportation needed for seniors. So that was part of it. The other part was to fund the meals that would be produced at the school, and then we would have those supplied to the seniors in lieu of the current company that does it, which had a lot of concerns with the current company. It's just, they're unreliable. I shouldn't say they're unreliable. They run out of funding partway through the year, so we never get meals throughout the whole year at CRT. So it was to provide stable, good meals and transportation. But I'm willing to listen to anything you guys want to do.
Bob, how many people does the Dial-A-Ride program service? Individuals?
I'd have to get you that number. We have it. We keep track of it, but I can't tell you offhand. it's a fair amount. For those who need it, they need it. They rely on it. And the increase wouldn't be so much for those standard routine Dial-A-Ride. It would be more for, you know, we could combine recreational trips with Simsbury and other towns and just enhance our current ability to get rides.
One thought on that is that if we're really looking at what they're saying about 18 months until there's a vaccine and possible future waves of infection, it may be that seniors are a group who are particularly unlikely to be increasing, you know, recreation trips and combined recreational trips to Simsbury and all that kind of thing, maybe a lot less likely in the next, you know, fiscal year than it would normally be. And that, and Sarah may be right that that's a place that, you know, maybe we need an increase in that right now because it's very unlikely to end up being used in this particular time period.
Yes, Andrew, just to throw out another thought. Yeah, I agree with you, Katie. I think maybe the recreational trips may get dialed back, at least in this fiscal year, or maybe the first half of fiscal year, the upcoming fiscal year, that is, the upcoming budget. But what do we think that is a possibility that the medical appointment rides will get increased?
Well, a lot of people aren't for anything other than an emergency right now because they don't want to be exposed to the virus in the doctor's office. So a lot of people are cutting back on that as well. I don't know if that's how long it will continue with.
Yeah, I was just throwing it out there.
Yep.
I think let's look at where 10,000 puts us. And again, a point of consideration could be in that seniors line. There.
We could come back for it.
Bob, can we see where we are kind of with this, the adjustments that we've made so far, just so we can continue to understand where we are?
Right now you're at 3.2. And that's a 98.5 collection.
Bob, you already took the SRO out of both of the budgets, right? Out of
SROs out of both, yeah. Well, one other thing I would point out on the senior social services, we do have money in there for the meals, but I also would point out that the money we pay kind of stays in the system because we just pay it over to the Board of Ed. So it's not going anywhere.
One thing, and we had talked about potentially lowering the food service debt, or stop loss, excuse me. And so based on that point, I don't know if the board would like to recommend any kind of looking at the, any amount that would you take out of the Board of Education with the suggestion that a point of emphasis could be that food stop loss.
Jen, this is Kevin. The board, I don't want to speak for the board, but certainly we could take that into consideration.
Right, because that's in there at 30,000 right now.
Yes.
And I know at least in the Board of Selectmen budget, they assumed 8,500 of increased revenue. So to the point that just kind of slides over, I don't know if the Board of Finance would be comfortable with 10,000, 15, or 15,000, or Kevin and Susan, if you guys had a chance to think about a number that, based on the way things were tracking year to date, and knowing the social services, if there's a number you would guess we could.
Yes, so I'm not comfortable tonight giving a number. I'd want to talk about it with our Board of Ed Finance Committee. We're meeting tomorrow morning. So I'm not comfortable throwing out a number tonight.
Okay, well then we will have to just know that's a place you're looking, and I don't know, Board of Finance, if there's anything you would want to build in at this point for that piece. Anybody?
I know for myself, I don't really know where to make the call, left or right here. So I'll follow on what you said, Jen.
Jen, I would point out too, that whole 8,000 probably wouldn't end up going to the Board of Ed, because part of that money would be used for during the summer when, you know, the Board of Ed's not making meals and things like that. So probably closer to 5,000 or maybe 6 at the most would be going over to the Board of Ed.
And Jen and Susan, I'll just let you know that there's not much profit built into the numbers I believe we gave. So it would just be offsetting the cost of labor and cost of food. So there could be opportunity that the Finance Committee decides on the stop loss piece, but in terms of that particular agenda item, it really wouldn't be a big impact.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Sarah. Before we move off the topic of the excess cost reimbursement, Jen, that you brought up, I just want to make sure that Bob reduced that number. It's 49,200.
Was that the 50,000 that you said earlier, Jen?
Yeah.
It's actually 49,200.
Okay. Is the board comfortable leaving 50,000 in there? I know that there, I mean, again, Kevin, we're not giving you guys exact offsets, so you get to figure out the exact place that you would put those things in. The board of finance comfortable leaving it at 50?
I'm comfortable at 50.
Thank you.
Okay. Other areas, members of the board. Sarah, did you have any place else that you wanted to ask a question about?
I do, and I'm not a proponent necessarily of this, but it has come up, so I thought we ought to talk about it, which is the town website. And I was just looking, I can't find the exact amount of money for that. I'm not sure where I put it, but that we certainly saw some letters from people in support of it, and I know that I believe it's a good idea. I know Bob Bessel's worked hard on this. The question is this the year? You know, again, I am very concerned about the impact of what appears to be a recession on the town. So I'm just worried about the bottom line and whether we should postpone putting a lot of money toward it, maybe making some progress, but not completely what we'd like to do this year, or if we should. So I want to throw that out there and hear what other people have to say about it.
It sounded from people who wrote in as if they felt that having it would be particularly important in helping them recover from what's happening right now. Because of the loss of economic activity that they're suffering at the moment and probably if they're still suffering for a while, that doing the website now, it seems like the gist of what they're saying was that would really give them the boost that they feel they need. To kind of come back from this. So in a way, it's like saying it's more important now because they're going to need extra attention, more business to make up for what they're not getting now.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Sarah. I honestly forgot all about the town website. And I agree with you, Katie. That was seemed to be the theme in all the emails that we received with regards to the town website. I would have to agree with all those emails that I saw. It will be a useful tool, not just for coming out of any recession that this coronavirus brings upon us, but even in the good times. So that way, instead of having a good year, maybe we could have a great year, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. So I think it's, personally, I would like to see the town website move forward as scheduled.
Jen, this is Ken. I'm not going to push back on that website because of what we're all doing right now. Doing FaceTime, the technology needs to go forward. And I know we have in our budget for licenses with Microsoft and some upgrades and stuff like that. And I think, believe it or not, I think this is the wrong year to cut that because we got to get in the 21st century, not the 22nd century. The virus is causing us to do that. And we're doing everything online. So I don't, for that actually particular reason, is why I'm not pushing back on that website, because I think everybody is going on the internet. I just heard Europe today just throttled back their internet because they have too many people on the internet. So they throttled it back. So heaven forbid we don't do that, but our system's better than theirs, but don't tell them. And I don't have a problem with keeping that for the website. Thank you.
That's fine, and that actually is my personal feeling about it also. I just thought we ought to talk about it because I suspect there's some public comment at some point about it, so I think it's a good idea to keep it.
All right, so are there other places that individuals have found that they would, you know, I'm not going to call them the any other places that you guys would call out? Otherwise, I think we should start looking at just the general, where we are overall and how we want to balance, right? So this is the even more not fun part from the standpoint of, you know, is there a, Bob, if you can scroll down, I think we're sitting at.
Jen, I would just like to point out, we haven't discussed how much we want to help pay it down with the general fund.
Right. Thank you, Ken. That's actually where I was going to suggest we go next. So with kind
actually,
of
these. Jen, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt, but there is another area within the Board of Selectmen budget if you want. Not that I should be here taking self-inflicted wounds, but we do have salt left over. $49,700 worth of salt. So if we want to do that reduction now, we could do that.
Definitely. So that feels like an easy one.
So you're not jinxing us. We're not going to get 2 feet of snow on Saturday?
Yeah, Meg, and if we do, we'll use the salt. But I'm going to throw it out there.
I know. I would appreciate that, Bob. And can, we can round that one to 50,000. That would be appreciated. I think there were a couple of other things, you know, whether it be, we do have to use the salt. There was an error or there were some other things that, again, if we do have to use some of the salt, we may be able to get to. All right.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. All right, so we're looking at a 3.05% increase. At this point, I would like to hear from the board. Well, is there anybody who feels that that is something we could put on, or do we want to keep talking about now potentially what we would potentially use from the general fund or incremental cuts we would like to see to reduce the burden on our taxpayers, which is right now, I believe, at a $257 average increase.
Well, without rehashing a lot of the other stuff, I think let's just see what, let's go to the general fund, how much we're going to pull out. And I don't know what figure to give, so I'll start off the conversation. We have in the past done 200,000, and that's the figure I'm going to start. I know last year was 100,000. Let me correct me if I'm wrong.
No, correct me if I'm misunderstanding. Don't we have to reserve money for the bridge out of that 70? What was that, 75,000? No, it was more than that.
It's
150,000.
150. But we were paying for half of it.
No, the bridge is 1.5 million. I shared 750.
That's right.
Yeah. Bob, we can start with the 200,000 to see what that was. Yep, we can talk about that as a board. I think you have to put them in as negatives.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if you look at 2019, it shows we did 200,000 back then.
It does.
Yep. I'll remind individuals, those that row 56, the other fund balance transfer, in case if people are remembering what that was, when we did the bonding for the town garage, we ended up in a better position and had some money go back to the CIP. We made that decision that we transferred out of the CIP and we used to
it was about 200,000 and we used it equivalently for 2 years. We no longer have that available to us for anybody who's kind of looking at what was that history. Bob Skinner, did I say that incorrectly?
Yeah, we basically got a discount when we did the bonding, and so they basically give you some funding back. And I think we used most of it. There still might be 20,000 in there or something like that, but most of it's been used.
Okay, 220,000 then.
Okay. Don't
put it in. I was just joking.
200,000 gets us to a 2.47% increase, which is still one of the higher ones we've had over the past few years.
Bob, can you scroll down so we can see? Oh, thanks.
It would be $208, the average taxpayer.
It's substantially lower than last year, which is nice.
The challenge with last year, though, is the average home increase, Katie. While the percentage looks different, that's because we had the revaluation that we had to factor in.
Right.
So the average increase to the homeowner was I should not use the word only. That's not fair. The average right. increase to the homeowner was $26.
And it depended a lot on the value of your house. So if you're in a larger house, you actually got paid less taxes. For some reason, the smaller houses went up in value, and so you ended up.
Just for clarification, I'm looking at the percentage here, 2.47. What did we start with on this form? Just so I'm thinking clearly, I don't want to second
guess. 4.31.
Thank you. If we go with this, we're absolutely going to have to tell the public that we started off with a budget of 4.31, and we took it down to 2.47.
I can't remember what the dollar increase was, though, before we started messing with the numbers.
No, I'm not saying 4.31. I'm saying 4.6. And it looks like maybe I'm looking at debt service.
It was 3.54, I think, and then when we switched to a 98.5% grand, or 98.5% collection rate,
yes,
then it went up to 4.3 or something like that.
That's right. That's where. Yep, 3.53. Yep.
3.53. We adjusted the revenue down by $257 million between the investment expense, the pool revenue. Excuse me, the interest income, the pool revenue, and the tax collection rate was worth $257,000. That actually brought us up to the 4.31, which meant the reduction, I believe we have cut out. I'm keeping a running tally, and hopefully this is an accurate running tally. We cut out $410,000. Bring us down to this 2.47% is the movement that we've made.
When we started, before we made those adjustments, it was a 297. So that's a substantial drop going down to 208 for the average cost. I'm comfortable with these numbers.
I'm going to agree with Sarah on that. I know we could cut a lot more, but I don't want to be the old codgery guy on board. No, so I'm comfortable with this.
The reason I started out by asking Bob about what were the big expenses for Board of Selectmen, because that's really where we have some very big increases that are unusual. And I mean, the firefighters are one, the pension, and then on Board of Ed, they've got some special ed costs that are huge. So I think we need to make sure that the flyer explains those. Mm-hmm. But the rest of it, it's a pretty lean budget. There's really not a lot of extra in there.
Correct. I agree
with you.
Bob, can you share with us where the overall total expense increase is? So not the revenue. I mean, not the mill rate, but just where total expenses are sitting. So right now they're going up by
$929,000. You're right here.
Okay. Yep. Do we know what a percentage increase that is? I can.
No.
I can do it real fast. Over the weekend, I was looking, to Sarah's point, some of those bigger ticket items and just understanding what impact they had on our town. The special education increase accounts for 1.41% to the town. So right now we're looking at a 2.7% increase. I think the special education is worth 1.41. The pension increase is worth 0.41. And then just health benefits, which we have to increase by 5%, just because that's the estimate of what we're kind of given. So that doesn't even factor in the general wage increases that in many instances are union and we're agreed to and we're locked into. But just considering those four large expenses, if my math is correct, that was worth 2.3% overall to the town that we're kind of locked into. And this is going up by about 2.8%. So there's about a 0.5% increase that we're covering our contractual salary increases and some other need that we have within the town as a way to just consider. Wait. Does that make sense to everybody? Just a way to look at it. Just, I wanted to understand the roughly 1.1 million increase, what it was worth and how you would account for it.
I understood it.
Is there anybody who is would like to suggest and have us look at anything else, either further usage of fund balance or an incremental small, just some incremental cuts for some of the smaller things that I think we all have identified and put through the course of our conversations and our reviews of the numbers? It's those small items. Let me just go around again. Sarah, you had started. Do you want to, anything else that you would suggest we look at here?
I've got one question about the calculations here, and then another question. What did we end up taking out for the track? Did we end up taking out half of it or all of it? I can't recall what we ended up with.
Half of it.
Half of it? Okay. So one possibility is to take it all out. Want to reduce a little bit more. So that's another, was that 37,000. The other, and this is just something that sort of perennially bothers me going to Board of Ed, is we seem to have a lot of, a huge diversity in athletics. You know, a lot of coaching costs, a lot of equipment costs, a lot of cost. And I'm not sure, the small school system, I just wonder if it's really servicing effectively the kids. And I have no particular suggestion to make there. I mean, I think that athletics are an important part of education. I would never suggest we not have them, but I just wonder if we need to have as many things as we do, whether having, you know, I don't know, five kids get served, you know, for the golf team. I'm just picking golf randomly, but it could be wrong. But I just wonder about the cost of the athletics. Because I have no concrete suggestion, not very helpful, I know.
Jen, may I respond? This is, thank you. Sarah, just so you know, we, every year we take such a close look at our athletic program. We have an athletic coordinator whose salary is one of the lowest in the state. We also, this year, implemented a feasibility study for each sport. So we've asked our athletic director to analyze every sport, looking at the number of participants, how much the equipment costs are, or do we have enough participants to run the sport for the following year? So a lot of work has been done in that area, and we will continue to look at it. But we actually offer fewer sports than other school districts our size. We offer a few less sports. So I just want all of you to know that. We continue to look at that very carefully.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I did not mean to sound critical. It's no. Just you look at the whole budget. And...
Your comments are appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. Continuing around the conversation, Ken, any further comments or suggestions you would make at this point?
Just a quick comment. This is tough here. We are going into an unknown that none of our predecessors have dealt with, going back ever how long you want to go back. And I do want us to be ready for after July, August, September, all the way into next fall. We may have to be making some more additional adjustments to this budget if things don't improve, or even if they do improve. I think this is a good budget. I know it won't be happy with some people in town, but the government still has to function. And I think that's where we're going. There's the niceties in there. And get back to what Sarah was saying about athletics. I made the comment earlier on that $50,000 we took out. We can leave it in there because they can make adjustments in athletics and some of the other departments. Because I know it's people hate to say it, but I'm going to because they're on the Board of Finance. Athletics is secondary to the schooling. No, it's an important part of the schooling, but anybody will tell you it's secondary to it. And the reason I can say that, because when I was in Germany, sports is not taken through the school. That's all done through the community. The school is just schooling. It's not sports. So when I came back to the States, it was quite interesting to see how much we were paying into the budget for the sports program and through our school system. Not that we have to do it by Germany, because I don't agree with them, but that's why I live here. So I'm comfortable with what we're doing, and I don't really want to cut anymore, because we're really going to have to start, you know, not buying tires for trucks. We have, you know, things like that. You know, do we really want to start going that far? We're going to wind up doing that if we go any farther. Thank you. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Katie?
I'm comfortable with it where it is. I think we need to do a good job of telling the story about how we got to this, making a case for why it makes sense, and that will help with presenting it to the town. And I also think that, you know, one of the things that we need to think about, and the state government needs to think about, is that balance a budget at both government levels. It's also the case that government has to make up for some of the shortfalls that happen in a bad recession. And so if we cut back too much in what we're doing, we could actually make things worse by cutting so deeply. And I'm glad that we're not cutting personnel. We're not trying to, you know, restrict things in those ways that I think would actually, you know, it in a sense be contributing to making our local economy worse for the people who live here.
All right. Thank you, Katie. Andrew, did you have any thoughts or comments on where we are landing?
No further comments at all. I'm comfortable with the numbers as they are, and I like to second what Katie said. It's just we have to make sure we tell the story so the way the public knows, you know, how we landed on these numbers tonight, assuming they stay the same before we conclude the meeting. That's it.
And John, your perspective?
I agree with all the prior comments, and again, I mean, this is something on me that we're entering is no one's ever gone through it before, and so I think we really need to pay attention to what does happen when we get to collection time and seeing what's happening with how long things stay shut down and the impact on our the residents in town and the businesses in town. But for the most part, I believe it's a very responsible budget and a good effort to keep as much as necessary, but getting rid of the nice to have items. But again, we just have to really watch what happens. And I would say lastly, to again, look at whatever opportunities there are to refinance. I don't believe we'll see rates this low again for a while, although we said that in 08, 09. And also the real impact of the interest rates to the fund balance. But I'm comfortable with where the numbers are.
Great. So with that, I'm not hearing anybody feel that, again, we do need to talk about how we are going to communicate this, but again, I think we'll work on communication after we hear back from the respective boards of selectmen and Board of Education. That's the new process this year, is they will take some of these bottom line numbers. So I think at this point, we need to ask for and entertain a motion on these being the proposed Board of Selectmen and Board of Education budgets that would be adopted by the Board of Finance. And Bob, if you can be patient and maybe scroll on the screen so we can get the numbers correct for the motion, I think that would be very helpful.
Do you want to do a separate motion for Board of Selectmen and a separate one for Board of Ed?
That would be great.
The Board of Selectmen budget would be the $11,377,508.
Board of Finance members.
So, Jen, would you like a motion?
I am not hearing.
All right, so make a motion that the Board of Finance approve the modified budget for the Board of Selectmen. $11,370,508, which is an increase of 3.4%.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Second by John. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 I heard from everybody, let it go that it passes unanimous. All right. I'll entertain a motion around the Board of Education budget.
Okay, I propose the education budget at $27,566,177, which represents a 3.7% increase.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, let that motion pass. All right, we'll take a Board of Finance budget recommendation.
You already voted on yours.
Oh, I did not think we actually took a motion because you said we would do it later.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you did. All right, me didn't.
Me didn't. This is the fun part. All right, anybody would like to make it? I'll entertain a motion about the Board of Finance budget.
Dan, not you. You go ahead and do it.
Nobody else wants to. I ask that we approve a Board of Finance budget of
$1,985,513. Do I have a second?
Second.
Right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you. All right, and then I think we probably need a motion that we would use. Bob, do we need to officially put something in here of the use of the $200,000 from the general fund at this point?
No, not at this point. Remember, you're not actually approving the budget. You're just approving what goes forward to the Board of Selectmen and Board of Education. So they have to come back to you and indicate where the line items would be cut and what their budget. So at this point, there's no reason to worry about how much out of fund balance they actually go to set the budget and the bill rate and all that stuff.
Right. So theoretically, we could have been
helpful. Wow, this is a little different than I'm used to.
I was going to say, Bob, theoretically, you know, based on what comes back, we can still have a discussion about that bottom line revenue number. Is that correct?
You can, yeah, you can make any changes you want after it comes back. You could add additional cuts, you could put money back in, you could, it's still an open budget.
Great, thank you. All right. Any other questions about the process tonight? Otherwise, we've got our three recommendations on the budgets. These go back, although the Board of Finance isn't going to continue any discussion. The Board of Selectmen for Education will come back to us, hopefully by our regular meeting on April 20th, which is 2 weeks from tonight. We'll have our regular monthly Board of Finance meeting, and we'll understand and get a report from them on where they're making the cuts, and we will look to finalize what budget works and mill rate change we're setting forward in the town. Baylor.
Hey, can I ask, Bob, can you go ahead, we've done this in the past, go ahead when the evening's over tomorrow, save that. Can you send us all this updated Excel spreadsheet to us?
Yes. I will. Tomorrow morning, I'll send you all out the revised spreadsheet so you have it.
Thank you.
Last year, I worked with Phil on Red Flyer, and I'm wondering, we can ask Bob if you and Bill can maybe send a draft you have to the Board of Finance. Let us, anybody who might like to comment on it, to get it back to and work on and start working on the language on it. I know we don't have the final numbers, but it was fairly general in terms of where the big expenses were. Fill in the final numbers when we... I think the way this is presented to the town makes a huge difference. And I liked last year's flyer. I think it was pretty well received. It was different than the previous one. Phil changed it substantially.
Okay.
I'm not sure how...
I was going to say, is Bob Bessel still there? I've lost track of people.
Yes, I am.
Do you remember what, because we talked about also having the budget in the newsletter that would be going out in like the first or second week of May?
That's right. Yeah, we were planning to have the flyer go out on the second week of May, second or third week of May, so that everyone would have it. I've already started working on some language about this budget, and based on tonight's deliberations, I'm going to be making quite a few adjustments to it, and we'll be kicking it around and passing it around to you guys.
The newsletter that goes out wouldn't go out to every household. And so, you know, one thought was to kind of incorporate all the budget language and things we, you know, our message into that newsletter, because you'll have a lot more space to do it versus trying to fit it on, you know, the four page document that we use that goes out to every household, or we can do both. It's just the timing will match up with the newsletter, so it could work out well.
Yeah, we had a discussion with John Fitz, and it turned out that the deadlines just lined up very well. So, yeah, we've got a little more space. The message is going to be a little different. You know, a lot of it last year was on process and explaining the reval. This is going to be a little different discussion, I think.
One just question, can you clarify for me, Bob? You said the second week of May. My thought is, go back to what we talked about from the conversation. We are having our annual budget meeting on May 4th.
Right.
It is possible, we will know by then, because if by May 1st, the executive order hasn't been lifted, it is possible that the only time that the public will have to make comment for the Board of Finance to consider, besides the emails that we've been receiving, which have been very helpful, the only kind of opportunity is through that. Do we feel we need to be able to have advertised in more than just like the town website where we're sitting on the budget in advance of that annual budget hearing, like the town hearing? And is the newsletter that you're referring to too late for that?
And the newsletter would certainly be too late for that. It won't be before May 4th, only because we're stuck with the newspaper's publication dates. And so it wouldn't work for that. Like I said, you could do both. We could send the newsletter out or the mailer out, late May. Oh, I'm sorry, late April, before the public hearing, possibly, if the timing works. And then just have the newsletter later on back up more with some themes of the overall budget.
I think that's a really good point, Jen. I think people should get a chance to see our explanation of what we're doing and what the numbers are, so that they can be responding to that if they're coming to the annual, participating in the annual meeting.
Yeah, I mean, one concern, I'm kind of two minds with this thing. Certainly want want informed discussion ahead of the public forum. But then if we, I'm a little concerned that we will have two budget presentations, one before, one after, and some people who too often don't pay attention could get confused. But yeah, I think we need to get something out ahead of that that budget hearing, so that people are informed. Let's talk about that a little offline, how we can do that most effectively.
No, I think that would make sense, Bob. Maybe we can talk about it and bring it back to the conversation on our meeting on April 20th with some kind of a recommendation and draft. The thing I would call out to the Board of Finance that Bob Skinner pointed out to me is technically through the referendum, we are no longer required, or excuse me, not the referendum, the town charter. We're no longer required to send the budget mailer that we were previously required to send, but especially in this environment, I think, over communication can't hurt. But just it's not a requirement. It's our discretion as a board to discuss.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I mean, this is the charter change is different enough, and then this year makes it, triply different. We need to do everything we can to be transparent and include the public as best we can. Very important.
All right, so Bob, we'll take that offline, Bob Bessel, and we can come back with some suggestions. If anybody on the Board of Finance has suggestions, or anybody on the phone has suggestions on the best way to communicate, please pass them along, and we will bring it as a discussion topic on April 20th. Any other comments or questions for tonight? All right, hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Good night, everybody. Thank you very much.
Good night.